The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. It's good to have you with us, our growing audience. We'll talk more about some of the stats of you listeners and get to some of your email feedback probably later this week. I think today's program shaped up at the last somewhat like yesterday's, where I'm looking at my notes and thinking, how am I going to cover all of this material? Well, I want to start with the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. More and more, I'm just amazed by the content that our editorial team back in Edmond pulls together for each Trumpet issue. And I know it can be somewhat crazy in the last few days before they ship it off to the printer. Assembling material, working with maybe articles that were posted weeks before on the website, putting together new material that's just for the magazine itself. And then every time that it comes out, of course, there's always some days in the production schedule that the content's been done weeks in advance. And then it takes time, of course, to send it off to the printer and to get the printed version of the magazine back from the printer. And then in the course of that process, if you visit thetrumpet.com very often, you probably realize or notice that one by one, then we post those articles that appear in the magazine version, the print version. We post them online as well, and it just fills out the content for the material we put up week in and week out on the website. On the TV taping that we had here this morning, I went through the latest issue. We just received it in the mail over here in the UK over the weekend. But this latest issue, August 2016, with that dramatic quote on the cover, the entire quote is there. Germany, this is from Herbert Armstrong, Germany is the economic and military heart of Europe. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe. But Britain will be no part of it, it says in big, bold, red letters. That's from Mr. Armstrong in 1956. Britain will be no part of it. Of course, that's still a big story over here in the UK, with Mr. Cameron now stepping down and Theresa May coming into office. We'll have a little bit more to say about that situation here tomorrow, perhaps, or later this week. But what a dramatic headline. And it goes back to 1956. As I say, you can pick up any issue, any Trumpet magazine issue, or as soon as you receive it from your mailbox, you can flip through it and see just how that God gives us special insight and how that it's ahead of the headlines, even though it's prepared in advance. There's another article in this issue titled America's Real Enemy. It's by my father. And this one, it's in that August issue, as I say, but it was posted on Friday, July the 8th, last week, last Friday, the day that we woke to the news on that terrible attack against the police in Dallas, Texas, the night before. Now, this article, as I say, was done weeks in advance. And as I say, it's amazing to me that in the scheduling for everything and the scheduling for when these articles, these various articles in the magazine are to be posted, that this particular article by my father, America's Real Enemy, that it happened to appear the same day that we got into the details of that shocking attack on the Dallas police. Yesterday, I mentioned John 8 and verse 44, where it says that You are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now that's the being that is the God of this world. That's the being who has been cast down to this earth. That is the being who is confined to this earth, as it says in Revelation 12. The father of lies. That's all that he speaks. There's no truth in him. Even when he quotes scripture, and he does do that, he misquotes it. He misapplies it. He perverts the truth with his lies and deceit. And as I was mentioning yesterday, I mean, these are all reasons why we've really got to be grounded in the truth of God, as it says previous to that verse, back in verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what we've got to be grounded in. We've really got to put a lot of value on truth. As I was covering yesterday, this is not the time to be ruled by emotion. We've got to let the truth of God be our guide. We've got to let God's truth light up our path so that we know where to go, so that we don't stumble and fall. In this article, this latest one by my father, America's Real Enemy, the August issue, he says, lies enslave and destroy us. Lies are the tools of tyrants. It's the truth that sets us free, he says, paraphrasing that verse we just read. It's the truth that sets us free. My father says, we should be passionate lovers of truth. We must see reality. And then he goes on to give this very sobering warning. Something deadly dangerous has seized the country far more than people realize. There's something deadly dangerous happening right now to the United States of America, and most people don't realize it because they seek refuge in lies, as I said yesterday. That verse from Isaiah 28, I think it was. The father of lies, that's who rules the world. That's who broadcasts to the human spirit in men. Let's just go through Isaiah 3. I had to kind of race through some of the points in this passage right at the end of yesterday's program. But here at the start of today's, we can slow it down just a little bit and hit some of the high spots in this critical chapter that has to do with leadership, or lack thereof, in the nations of Israel today, the descendants of ancient Israel today, primarily the United States and Britain. There's a leadership crisis, as this chapter brings out. Verse 1 of Isaiah 3 says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water." And he goes on and says, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable man, all these leaders, they're gone. All these leaders, they're gone. There's no strong leadership, no men of war, no great generals like there used to be in our lands. Verse 4 says, and I'll give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Childish leadership is what's filled the vacuum. And most people don't even see it. And down in verse 12 it says, and as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The leaders, God says, are responsible. Yesterday I read that verse from Isaiah 1. where it talked about the sickness in the head. The whole head is sick. God blames the leaders. Well, really, there's plenty of blame to go around because the people are at fault as well, like my father brings out in this recent article, this latest. America's real enemy, the leaders in these democracies that we're part of, I mean, we get what we deserve. We get what we deserve, but he does here, God does in Isaiah 3, he does put a good part of the blame on the leaders who are leading this, who are leading the nations to catastrophe. My father writes, and this is, well, really right at the start of his article, he talks about America's weakening position abroad and how that even as the current administration is undermining America's strength and power abroad, that same administration is amassing power here at home or in the United States. And this is not a contradiction, as he brings out in his article. It's really another side of the same story. Weakening America's power abroad, even as it amasses power at home. Well, he goes, after starting the article out by making that point, he then goes on to say that the radical left in the United States is intent on destroying the Constitution. That is their goal. That's their goal. And they're not even really trying that hard to conceal that goal or that intent, like maybe they would have a few years ago. Now, if you look into some of the statements that President Obama has made recently in the last few years, or even going back to before he came into office, well, he's had some pretty radical positions when it comes to the United States Constitution. This first one here that I'll play for you, it's something that he said near the end of his first term in office as president. Some of his supporters were frustrated with him because he came into office back in 2008, 2009, remember, promising radical change, promising to fundamentally change the United States of America. And 4 years in, many of his supporters were saying, hey, it's not happening fast enough. We want radical change. We want radical change. It has to happen faster. And this was President Obama's response to that criticism.
What's frustrated people is that I have not been able to force Congress to implement every aspect of what I said in 2008. Well, you know, it turns out that our founders designed a system that makes it more difficult to bring about change than I would like sometimes.
That's President Obama talking about how what the founders drew up, the founding fathers of the United States of America, how what they designed and established, it was preventing him from making the more difficult changes that he needs to make. I mean, you would think as a sitting president, you would think that his objective would be to carry on with what the founders established, to build on top of what the founders established. I mean, these are the founding fathers of the nation, the makers of the Constitution, those who established the laws. But there he was just a few years ago lamenting the fact that, well, the way they set it up, it's really proving to make my job more difficult. You go back before that statement to what the president said, or what then Senator Obama said in a radio interview when he talked about the fundamental flaw of the U.S. Constitution. This is a clip two.
The Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
So he's a proponent of big government. He sees the Constitution as a charter of negative liberties. It's just there to say what you can't do, which, of course, is why Americans and many others around the world, because of this charter, have enjoyed unprecedented amounts and levels of freedom. Because it was drawn up from the beginning. And it said what states and the federal government can't do. But he wants to impose his will, his view, on the rest of America. He wants the federal government. He wants a law or a supreme law or a constitution that will spell out what the federal government should do for you. Now, continuing from my father's latest, America's Real Enemy. That's the title. That's in the August issue of the Trumpet magazine. America's Real Enemy. He says more recently, the attack on the Constitution has become even more vile. People have criticized it not simply for making change more difficult. You heard that yourself from what I just played. It's made it more difficult for me to implement change. But my father says here, people have criticized the Constitution not simply for making change more difficult, but because it represents what they perceive to be institutionalized racism inherent within the American system. So it's worse than a charter of negative liberties. There's kind of a built-in racism that we've got to do away with altogether. I read some quotes to you yesterday from some of the founding members of the Black Lives Matter movement. We've got to chop off the head if we're ever going to correct all the wrongs. We've got to do away with the Constitution. That's what they say, or words to that effect, some of them. Alicia Garza, she's one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. She's the one that coined the phrase. And she said earlier this year, at a Missouri campus rally, she said the goal of the Constitution was to make an agreement between factions known as states, which were built on the backs of black slaves. And she went on to say, the people vowing to protect the Constitution are vowing to protect white supremacy and genocide. That's what she said. If you're here to protect, if you're here to uphold the United States Constitution, the law of the land, well, you're just protecting white supremacy and genocide. That same month, she said that in February, that same month. Well, I believe it was that month when President Obama visited the UK and talked about how that the Black Lives Matter movement had really done a good job in bringing attention to issues that we needed to discuss, to problems in the criminal justice system. He praised Black Lives Matter. That same month, when the co-founder was off denouncing the Constitution, other prominent members of the movement, they were invited right into the White House. As all of these groups, these activist groups, these black activist groups, are urging the president to come down hard on racism among whites here in his final year of office. Here they are talking about institutionalized racism and that it's inherent within the American system. It's right there in the American founding documents. My father in the article, he says this, comments like these are a contemptible attack on the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Such vile statements are stirring up a lot of anger and bitterness against the system of government established by America's framers. These statements, he said, he wrote this weeks ago, we posted it the same day of the Dallas tragedy, and it's now landing in mailboxes all over the world. He said these statements are stirring up anger and bitterness. And it's aimed at a system of government that our founders, our framers established. And then he goes on and asks, do you realize how deadly dangerous this trend of lawlessness is? Very few people do. Very few people do. But it gives insight into the real nature of the threat facing America. And notice this statement here. This is quickly moving. This is quickly moving America toward a race war and rule by dictatorship or tyranny. Now, that's a quote that I think we're going to be coming back to often in the months and years ahead. You might as well prepare now to hear that again. It's quickly moving America toward a race war and rule by dictatorship or tyranny. Statements like the one from Alicia Garza, other members of the Black Lives Matter movement, and those out there on the front lines, particularly police chiefs, they know it. They understand the danger. They see it. Let me play for you first here what the Milwaukee sheriff, David Clark, said in response to the attack in Dallas. This is something he said on a news program Friday evening after five police officers had been gunned down by this shooter, motivated, inspired by these movements like Black Lives Matter. This is Sheriff David Clark, Friday night.
We have some very irresponsible rhetoric coming from some very powerful people. It is time for this nation to stand up with one voice and to condemn and shun this movement called Black Lives Matter. I would like to see the Southern Poverty Law Center place Black Lives Matter alongside those other hate groups that were mentioned, these black nationalist groups, the Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam. It doesn't mean that those organizations will go away just because they're on that list, but what happens is people start to delegitimize these movements and marginalize them. This movement needs to be marginalized. We have looked at this stuff. We have peeled back the layers. We've looked at the data. We've looked at the research. None of their false narrative about the use of force or about the American police officer can be proved.
None of it can be proved. They're out there spewing it out on a daily basis, though, shouting from the rooftop. And here is a sheriff, a black man, by the way, who's saying that the group ought to be marginalized. But it's hardly marginalized. It's being invited into the White House. It's being praised by the president. Loretta Lynch is offering it encouragement. Don't be discouraged by what happened in Dallas. You've got to keep your head up. Stay positive. Get the message out. And yet it's nothing more, as Sheriff Clark just brought out there. Is nothing more than a black nationalist group, a separatist group, really, that wants to cut off the head, that wants to undermine the Constitution, that wants to do away with supreme law. Here's one voice. One voice that says it ought to be condemned and shunned. But how many are doing that? The major media is not. I mean, they're now wondering if maybe they've gone too far, as I read to you yesterday from the New York Times. Some of them, they have to be wondering. There's another piece from the Associated Press. Just yesterday, attacks on police inspired or directed by militant groups. Well, now they're coming around. These militant groups, the Black Panthers, I mean, they were just performing or standing there on stage with Beyonce at the Super Bowl. And the whole world watched. The whole world watched. The Black Power salute. I played the speech yesterday from the actor at the awards ceremony a couple of weeks ago. It's time to rise up. Lots of powerful voices out there that are spewing out irresponsible rhetoric, as Sheriff Clark says. The Associated Press said police shootings of black men in Louisiana and Minnesota were followed by calls from black militant groups and others to seek vengeance against officers. This is from the Associated Press. There's black nationalist groups calling for blacks to seek vengeance against officers. And it says here, the AP says almost immediately, several officers were attacked. Several officers, including the five slain by a sniper in Dallas. Not just those five. It says here, police have been tight-lipped about exactly what they're investigating and what they've uncovered so far. This is respecting the attack in Dallas. Although Micah Johnson was connected to several militant groups on social media, it's unclear if he was merely a follower or a more active participant. Similar questions have been raised by international terrorist organizations, such as ISIS. It says, finally, the number of black separatist groups nearly doubled in 2015, mirroring a similar increase among white hate groups that has taken place as police killings make frequent headlines. So where is this leading? You have the number of black separatist groups doubling in 2015, and the same is happening among white hate groups? Do you think this is building toward an explosion, a race war? Well, someone's got to prepare you for what's coming. And you read the Trumpet magazine, as I say, it comes out each month. And even though many of those articles are prepared weeks and weeks in advance, it's God giving you the news in advance. As Daniel said in chapter 2, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, who tells us what's to happen in the latter days. God wants you to know. God wants you to be aware of what's happening. He wants you to understand where this is headed. Here's another example. This is from the El Paso police chief, Greg Allen. This is what he said, just a short clip here, in response to a question about Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, as far as I'm concerned, is a radical hate group. And for that purpose alone, I think the leadership of this country needs to look a little bit harder at that particular group. The consequences of what we saw in Dallas is due to their efforts.
That's quite a statement. He also is a black police chief, correctly labeling Black Lives Matter as a radical hate group. And he blames what happened in Dallas on them. It is due to their efforts. It's due to their efforts. I mean, those men ought to be congratulated for their courage. Because you don't hear very many statements like that. Compare what those two said, Sheriff Clark and Sheriff Allen, with what President Obama said on Sunday in Spain. He was asked a question here about Black Lives Matter. Notice this exchange.
We've seen continued protests, as I mentioned, overnight in many American cities over the Dallas tragedy. And as you prepare yourself to travel to Dallas, how would you advise the Black Lives Matter activists to approach this very sensitive issue?
One of the great things about America is that individual citizens and groups of citizens can petition their government, can protest, can speak truth to power. And that is sometimes messy and controversial, but because of that ability to protest and engage in free speech, America over time has gotten better. We've all benefited from that. The abolition movement was contentious. The effort for women to get the right to vote was contentious and messy. There were times when activists might have engaged in rhetoric that was overheated. And occasionally counterproductive. But the point was to raise issues so that we as a society could grapple with them. The same was true with the civil rights movement and the union movement and the environmental movement and the anti-war movement during Vietnam. And I think what you're seeing now is part of that long-standing tradition.
What you see in Black Lives Matter, it's just a long-standing American tradition. This is following all kinds of other movements that have helped make America a better place. And this latest manifestation, which wants to do away with and undermine the Constitution and lop off the head and attack the police. Well, what you're seeing, it's just tradition. It's easy, you see, to stand up and speak out against violence. But what about what motivates the violence? What about the movements that are out there calling for the violence? Well, yesterday we played for you the statement from the president. It's kind of hard to untangle the motives here. We'll just leave that to the psychologists. We can't be sure. Well, that's not the approach Sheriff Clark or Sheriff Allen took. What a difference. What a difference in the thinking between these two sheriffs, these two policemen who have their men out there protecting protesters, protesting against the police, protesters accusing the police of institutional racism, serving their communities, in some case sacrificing their lives. Sheriff Clark and Sheriff Allen, they see Black Lives Matter as it is a radical hate group. How can you speak out against the violence and not denounce the movement that spawned the violence? Well, if you want to know how you can do that, just go back to that clip sometime that I just played for you. What the president said in Spain. Satan's been cast down to this earth. Revelation 12, read through the entire chapter. My father in that article, that latest article, as I say, how timely is that? America's real enemy, posted last Friday. And he said in that piece, the devil is full of wrath, and he's gotten control of the government of this land. He controls the radical left. He says the fruits prove it. These people want to bring this system down. Now, as you hear me quote that over the airwaves today, I mean, it may sound, wow, that's strong. But it's what they're saying. They're saying it openly. But most people, they're just asleep to what's really happening, to what Black Lives Matter is really saying, to what the president has said and what he continues to say and what the president's appointed czars and attorney generals and whoever else, it's what they've been saying. And now they're taking action. Others are taking up arms. And they're wanting to start a war, as one black nationalist group said on Friday, the war has begun. The war has begun. They see what happened in Dallas as a hopeful sign that they can build momentum on. Hopefully we can appreciate just how full of wrath Satan the devil is and how important it is for us in this time where there's so much deception, so many lies, how critically important it is for us to remain grounded in the truth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to send in some feedback, don't forget to email us at td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the Literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
And so the Black Lives Matter myth that's out there, that many people believe, that many people have sought refuge in, is that there's a racist war brought against them by white police officers. It's a war against black civilians, the black community has been told. And because of this, because of movements like Black Lives Matter, because of lies like what happened in Ferguson, the police in America's major cities, they're backing off. They're reluctant to engage. And what has been the result? We talked about some of it yesterday with just the incomprehensible figures or stats coming out of Chicago. I mean, you can't even wrap your mind around it. The carnage. Well, that's Chicago. The worst of it. But across the land, throughout the United States, we've seen a 17% increase in homicides last year in America's biggest cities. Chicago, St. Louis, Dallas, Houston, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. 17% increase. I mentioned yesterday that 6,000 blacks die every year as a result of homicide. That's more than whites and Hispanics combined. And the reason they're dying at a rate 6 times higher than whites and Hispanics combined is because blacks are out there committing homicide at 8 times the rate of whites and Hispanics combined. You say you want to get to the truth. You say you want to get to the bottom of it. How about if we start here? I quoted Heather McDonald, the expert on this subject. The War on Cops is her latest book. She said last week a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is likely to be killed by a police officer. See, it's just the opposite of what so many would have you to believe. Sheriff Clark made a similar point last week when interviewed on Fox News, I believe it was. This is clip 6.
You know, I don't believe there's any sincerity behind the president's words. Just yesterday, he was popping off at the mouth again, exploiting the situation that happened, one in Louisiana, one in Minnesota, and exploiting it on the basis of race. He has no foundation for that. There's no data or research that suggests or proves anything that he thinks in terms of disparity. Let me give him this statistic, and I'd like to know what he says about this. 40% of law enforcement officers in the country that are killed in the line of duty are killed by black men. So when you look at that, there's some disparity there in light of the fact that blacks only represent about 13 to 14 or maybe even 15% of the population.
That's a disparity in the other direction that movements like Black Lives Matter would have you believe. But look, it's based on lies. So many of these movements based on lies. But the message is being accepted. This Heather McDonald, she says that a Chicago cop told her a few weeks back that he's never seen so much hatred directed at police officers in his 20 years of policing. He said what they're out there doing is pretty much undoable. You can't do your job now because you have to pull back. You can't go into the black communities like you used to be able to. And so what's happened as an inevitable result? The crime spike. The crime spike that overwhelmingly endangers black lives. Black lives. Do black lives matter? If so, then how about if we look at root causes? How about if we look at these 6,000 deaths, these 6,000 homicides per year? How about if we dig into why? That blacks are, what, 8 times more likely to commit a homicide than whites and Hispanics combined? These are not comfortable truths. But Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We have to know the truth. She said this last week, Heather McDonald. Now, this is getting at root causes. This is a breakdown of the family. This is the breakdown of the family. That's leaving kids without any socialization or any decent role models. They don't have fathers. They don't have fathers. And she goes on and talks about how that, you know, if you want to say it's just strictly an economic problem because, well, they're poor in the inner city. Well, what about Asian immigrants who are poor but who have a father and mother teaching them academic discipline, teaching them respect for authority? This is what it comes down to. Family breakdown. Some 70 to 80% of black youths growing up in a home with a mother only. And that's it. No father. Fatherless America. During his press conference, I believe this was yesterday, this is now the Dallas police chief. Here again, he's also a black man. And he was asked, well, what advice would he give to young black men to overcome their fear of police? If they have a fear of police, I mean, what do you do? What do you do? And Chief Brown said, well, look, become part of the solution, not the problem. Become part of the solution. And this is what he went on to say.
Serve your communities. Don't be a part of the problem. We're hiring. We're hiring. Get off that protest line and put an application in. And we'll put you in your neighborhood, and we will help you resolve some of the problems you're protesting about.
Now, Loretta Lynch, President Obama, they would say go get on the protest line. Chief Brown says get off the protest line. Don't go out and protest. How about if you serve your community? How about if you become part of the solution? And here is a man, when he talked a little bit about himself, he said, I love Dallas. I love Dallas. And he got into the police force years ago because when coming out of college, there was a cocaine epidemic that took down a couple of his closest friends. And so he wanted to do something to try to solve the problems of the inner city. And so he joined the police force. He trained to become a policeman. And he's out there serving. And you have to give him credit for how he's led the city in this time of crisis. And his advice to young black men is to get off the protest line and serve your community. What if all of them did that? What if they took that as their approach? What if that was the founding principle of Black Lives Matter? Instead of undermine the Constitution, undermine the law of the land, undermine the police force. What a different world this would be. What a different movement it would be. The problem, as you well know, is that Chief Brown is one lone voice, drowned out by thousands and thousands of others that are much louder, that are much more likely to be on CNN and all the other channels regularly to receive coverage at the next protest. Chief Brown, on the other hand, will have his few days in front of the cameras here following that tragedy last weekend. And then that'll be it. He'll move on. And so will the TV cameras, as they'll go look for one more crisis after another, doing anything and everything they can to stir up strife, to encourage protests, to encourage division. I mean, after all, this is an American tradition. This is part of a long-standing tradition that's actually made America a better place, all these protests. To undermine law enforcement. To undermine the supreme law of the land. Lots and lots of powerful voices. Powerful voices coming out with that kind of rhetoric. How irresponsible. As I said yesterday, we're just lighting one fuse after another. Well, look again at what it says in Isaiah 1. We read some of this yesterday. It says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart is faint. The problem is the leaders, and of course, too, the lack of courage to actually address root causes. You know, Chief Brown said yesterday as well, just to paraphrase what he got into, he said, look, we can't do everything. There's a breakdown in the family. Okay, most of the young blacks are growing up just with single moms. People say, well, the police needs to take care of it. Well, there's a crisis over here. There's a problem in Dallas with stray dogs. Oh, well, the police can go take care of that. As if they have the time and the resources and just the focus to take care of every single problem. He was basically saying we need help. Not just within the police force. We need help from parents, We need help from community leaders. We need help from teachers. We need help from politicians. What did he say to those young black men? Serve. Serve your communities. What a message. What a message. He went on to paraphrase some principles of the New Testament, Jesus' teaching. How that the greatest love is to sacrifice for your brother. You don't hear that message coming through very often. Not during a news conference. Some pretty good advice, I'd say. I'd want to give that to my son. Get out there and serve. Stop complaining. Stop protesting. Stop looking for any possible grievance. And go help and give and love and serve. Well, because of what's happening in America today, policemen, they can't get out there and serve communities like they did even just as recently as 2 and 3 years ago. My father said in the Ezekiel booklet, many policemen only feel secure if they do almost nothing. Is that what America wants? Is that what the Obama administration wants? Says other authorities also fear to act, thinking riots may be ignited in other cities. Our government's paralyzed by fear. The whole heart is faint. He's paraphrasing Isaiah 1. We just read it. We no longer have control of our cities. U.S. citizens already have 200 million guns. It says, as a result of the race riots, more guns will be sold. The people see that our government won't protect them, and they don't trust God to protect them either. And so you see where it's building. Yesterday I gave you the crime statistics in Chicago. And the Associated Press comes along and says, oh yeah, also hate groups, those have doubled in a year's time. Those have doubled. And you add to that some of the facts and figures he brings out in the Ezekiel booklet, 200 million guns. And a general public that no longer believes the government is there to protect them. Every man looking for himself only, looking out for number one, looking out for himself. What will this result in? You can see why Isaiah said what he said. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It says in verse 7, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. It is desolate, it goes on and says in the next couple of verses. Well, verses 9 and 10 to be precise. God compares us to Sodom and Gomorrah. Talk about cities burning with fire. Hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. It is the rulers, but it's also the people, isn't it? It's the people too. It's like my father says in this article, America's real enemy. We get the leaders we deserve, especially in a democratic republic. We, the people, must accept the blame for our problems. That's what God wants us to help. That's what he wants us to see. He wants us to accept blame for our problems. We can't just put it all on the police. Oh, the police will take care of it. And now there's so many in the nation that distrust the police. So who's going to solve the problems? There's lots of powerful people and organizations, as my father brings out in this piece. America's real enemy. Go read it. Go read it. It was posted just last Friday on the website. Lots of powerful people, organizations, movements that want to bring the system down. I mean, even the other side. You have Donald Trump who's out there saying the system is rigged. There's a problem with the system, everybody keeps saying. Well, that system's going to collapse. Actually, it's going to be brought down. These people want to bring the system down. That's what my father says. Now they're deceived. It's happening because of what's prophesied in Revelation 12. So it shouldn't come as a shock. But we better be grounded in the truth. There's a system. Speaking of systems, there's a system behind this destruction. And it's outlined in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 4, Revelation 12, and in other passages. It's all prophesied. It's all prophesied. What a spectacular fulfillment of prophecy. That story at the front of the magazine. What's happened in Britain? Well, as it happens, race wars, cities burning with fire. We don't have time to get into Ezekiel 5, but that too is prophesied. And we can thank God that after that, after the Great Tribulation, after the return of Jesus Christ, then the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as we put the finishing touches on yet another broadcast here on KPCG.FM. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.